5. Archbishop's Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Carus. Another glass, Benjamin, Archbishop Michael Stainer invited, reaching out a long arm to lift the brandy decanter and arching one salt-and-pepper eyebrow suggestively.
I suppose under the circumstances it couldn't hurt, Your Eminence.
Benjamin Race, Baron Wave Thunder, agreed. The Baron was a large man with a completely bald head and a powerful nose, who had risen from humble beginnings to his present position on the Royal Council of Old Carus. Although Prince Narmon of Emerald had become the official Imperial Counselor for Intelligence, Wave Thunder had been King Harald's spymaster before Caleb ascended to the Carizian throne, and he continued to hold what was almost certainly the most sensitive of the new Empire of Carus's intelligence positions. He held that position because he was so very good at what he did, although he'd recently acquired certain advantages he had never previously dreamed might exist. He and Stainer sat in the cleric's third-floor study in the Archbishop's Palace beside Telisburg Cathedral, listening to the background sounds of the benighted city through the study's open windows. The night was relatively cool, for Telisburg in October, at any rate, which was a relief after the day's heat, and the city noises were muted this late in the evening. They would never quite cease, of course, not in Telisburg, the city that never quite slept. But they were definitely diminishing as the night deepened, and the palace was far enough from the eternally busy docks for the noises which continued to be hushed by distance. The Archbishop's official residence sat in a stately park of just under 3 wooded, beautifully landscaped acres, which were worth a not-so-small fortune in their own right, given the price of real estate in Telisburg. The palace itself was a magnificent building, having been built of golden-hued Armagh marble and designed to house one of Mother Church's archbishops in the splendor appropriate to his high office. But Stainer's tastes were rather simpler than those of most of Old Carus's previous prelates. The magnificent furnishings with which his immediate predecessor had filled this study, for example, had been removed early in Stainer's tenure. He'd replaced them with furniture he and Arden Stainer, his years-dead wife, had assembled during their lives together. All of that was tasteful enough, but it was also old, comfortable, and, obviously, well-loved. At the moment, Stainer lay tipped back, half-lying in a recliner his wife, Arden, had commissioned for him when he was first ordained a bishop. He'd had it recovered at least twice since then, and from the condition of the fabric, he was going to have it reupholstered yet again sometime soon. The reason he was going to have to do that, this time, lay contentedly curled in his lap, purring in happy possessiveness. The snow-white cat lizard, whose claws had shredded the upholstery of the recliner-shaped scratching post with which he had been so obligingly provided, and whose name was also Arden, despite the fact that he happened to be male, was clearly in no doubt as to who owned who, whatever any silly humans might think. Now, Arden the lizard interrupted himself in mid-purr and raised his head to look disapprovingly up at Stainer as the archbishop leaned far enough to the side to pour fresh brandy into Wave Thunder's proffered glass. Fortunately for the cat lizard's view of the proper organization of the universe, the refilling process didn't take long, and his mattress's anatomy settled back into the appropriate position relatively quickly. Better yet, the hands which had been distracted from their proper function resumed their dutiful stroking.
It's such a relief to realize that the Empire's spiritual shepherd is made of such stern stuff, Wave Thunder observed dryly, gesturing with his glass at the large, powerful hands, rhythmically stroking the cat lizard's silky pelt.
I'd hate to think you could be readily manipulated, or, God forbid, allow yourself to be dominated.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Stainer replied with a serene smile.
Oh, of course not, Wave Thunder snorted, then allowed a fresh sip of brandy to roll across his tongue and send its honeyed fire sliding down his throat. He savored the sensation, but then his expression sobered as he returned his attention to the true reason for this evening's visit.
I understand the logic behind your travel plans, Michael, he said soberly, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I have some significant reservations about them as well. I don't see how the man charged with your responsibilities could feel any other way, Stainer shrugged very slightly. In fact, in many ways, I'd really prefer to stay right here at home myself. And not just because of the possibility of lurking assassins, or any of the more mundane hazards involved in the trip, or even of the fact that I anticipate spending quite a bit of it being ineffably bored. He grimaced. On the other hand, and even giving all of those reasons I should stay home their just weight, I still can't possibly justify not going. First, because it's my spiritual responsibility as Archbishop of the Church of Caris. We've had more than enough of absentee archbishops who visit their archbishoprics for a single month or two each year. God's children deserve better than that, and I intend to see that, to the best of my own ability, they get it.